Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It was the summer of 1977, and I sat in a movie theater watching the opening crawl of Star Wars. And it said, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And like millions of others, I was hooked immediately. The Force, the fight, the redemptive arcs, the rebellion against the Empire. I loved every film and every show, well, some better than others. But like many fans, I smile every time it's May the 4th. It's a fun little pun. May the 4th be with you. Not may the force be with you, may the fourth be with you. It's a lighthearted nod to the story that we all love, but there's more to it for me today. Because when you dig into the meta-narrative of Star Wars, we see that it's full of fire, both literal and symbolic. Anakin Skywalker is burned on the slopes of Mustafar, consumed by his choices, abandoned by the one whom he loved. The Jedi Temple falling in flame during Order 66. The return home of Luke to a smoking homestead and the charred remains of the only family he'd ever known. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay, because you'll still get the sermon. In Star Wars and in other places, rebellions rise in flame, empires fall in fire, and what begins as a promise often ends in ashes. In Star Wars, fire means loss, collapse, turning points. But you don't have to travel to a galaxy far, far away to feel that kind of heat, because the Bible is full of fire too. And God doesn't avoid fire, he works through fire. Here's a couple of highlights. God led his people through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. He sent fire from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice. He met Moses in a bush that was on fire, even though it never burned up. He descended Mount Sinai in flame. The Psalms speak of fire as a test. The prophets speak of it as refining. Paul says that everything we build, our work, our lives, our legacy, will be revealed by fire. God operates through means, through stuff, through things that we can see and feel. And sometimes those means burn. Not just then, it happens now as well. We walk through fire too, the fire of grief, the fire of shame, the fire of betrayal, our own and others, the fire of regret that smolders under the surface. You felt the heat, you've stood in the smoke, you've wondered if anyone sees you in it, if there is a God that's there, or perhaps you feel like you are all on your own. So today, on May the 4th, I want to take you back to fire, not to scare you, but to ask, what kind of a fire are you in? And who will meet you there? I want to start in the Old Testament. It wasn't a lesson for today, but Daniel chapter 3. We have the story of some of God's people in exile and in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar builds a golden statue. It's 90 feet tall, and he commanded that whenever the music is played, everyone needs to bow down and worship the statue. Everyone. And everyone did it except for three. Perhaps you remember their names: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood, not because they were strong, but because their God was worthy. The king gave them one last chance. Bow down or be thrown into the furnace, stoked seven times hotter than normal. And what was their response? Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow. That's not faith in an outcome. That's faith in God, no matter the outcome. So they were bound up and thrown in, and moments later the king stood up and stared into the fire. In the book of Daniel, we hear this. Didn't we throw three men into the furnace? But I see four walking in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. I'm going to push pause on that story just for now. Leave it smoldering, and let's turn to another fire. It's late. Jesus has been arrested. Peter is standing in the courtyard of the high priest, and there's a fire, a charcoal fire, the kind that clings to your clothes and lingers in your nose. A servant girl looks at Peter and says, "You were with him." But he replies, "I don't know what you're talking about." Someone else speaks up, "You're one of them." "No, I'm not." And a third time, "Surely you were with him." "I don't know the man." And then the rooster crows. Jesus turns and looks at Peter, and Peter remembers, and Peter weeps, sorrowful for what he had done. That fire didn't warm him, it exposed him. That fire for Peter burned with shame. Fast forward a little bit in the story to our gospel lesson for today. The cross has come and gone. The tomb is empty. Peter, still feeling and carrying the weight of his failure, is out fishing. And Jesus appears on the shore. And once again, the text tells us there's a fire, specifically a charcoal fire. This time, there are no accusations, just breakfast and then silence. And then as we read elsewhere in the scriptures, "Simon, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Three times Jesus asks the same thing. Three times Peter answers. It's no coincidence that there were three denials and there are three restorations. The restoration was complete and total. It's not accidental. This is intentional fire, not to punish, but to heal and restore. But we still haven't answered the question, who is the fourth in the furnace? The Bible never names him directly in Daniel 3. The king just says he looks like a son of the gods. But we know who walks on fire. We know who restores failures. We know who doesn't avoid heat, shame, or death, but who walks straight into it. The fourth in the fire is Jesus. Not a force, a person, not an idea, a savior. The same one who stood in the furnace of Babylon, stood beside Peter after his worst failure, and this same one stands with you. For you too have bowed to the idols of control or comfort. You have denied him, not maybe always with your words, then it would be with your silence, your avoidance, your compromise. You live with the fire of guilt, the heat of consequence, the ashes of something you've lost or you've broken. But you are not alone in the fire. The fourth doesn't just show up in your fire. He takes your place in it. He doesn't just stand with you. He sets you free. His presence isn't just comforting. It's atoning. Jesus Christ entered the flames of judgment in your place. He bore the fire of wrath that should have consumed you. He took the punishment your sin deserves, and in return, he gives you righteousness, forgiveness, and freedom. The fire of hell is real, and because of your sin, it has your name on it. But the fourth has stepped in. And because he took the heat, you will not be burned. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned." Jesus promised, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." And Paul proclaimed, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So let me say it to you, may the fourth be with you. May that fourth be with you, not the force, the fourth, the firewalker, the shame healer, the sin bearer, the Christ. He was with the three in Babylon. He was with Peter at different fires, and he's with you right now. Not just to comfort you, but to save you. Not just to reassure you, but to redeem you. Not just to stand beside you, but to stand in your place. So whatever furnace you're in, whatever fire is licking at your feet, you are not alone. The fourth is with you. And because of him, you are forgiven. Because of him, you are free. Because of him, you will not be burned. And now may the presence of the fourth, who enters your fire, who bears your burden, who frees you from sin, who forgives you, may he guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. May the fourth be with you now and always. Amen.